Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And questions, please, for Jane Pickett, our resident vet from the Islandwood Veterinary Hospital in Newmarket, part of the Mill Street Veterinary Group. Jane joining me this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Jane.
Good afternoon, Patricia.
And you are very welcome. Somebody wants to know, in very cold weather like this, should you always put a coat on a dog when you're going out for a walk? This listener was out this morning and she could see little dogs out having their morning walk and they looked frozen.
Sometimes, yes. I think it depends on each individual situation. You know, there's a lot of factors that affect, you know, how well a dog or a cat copes with the cold. And that can be even down to their breed, their hair type, how much body fat they have is a big contributor as well. Sometimes if they have a bit of a layer of blubber, they've got a good kind of internal jacket against the cold, but not a good reason to let them put on fat. I would say in this situation, you just need to really keep a close eye on your pet. If they are a very light breed, let's say that doesn't have a lot of body fat. For example, I have a little rescue greyhound. She needs a coat because she has no body fat on her. So in that situation, yes, but my other dog is kind of another hound cross, has a lot more body fat, has longer hair, and she actually copes really, really well in the cold. So I think it just depends on the situation. Be guided by your dog. Be guided by their signals. If they're acting like everything's really, really normal and when they're out for their short walk, don't seem at all bothered and they're happy to go for their usual little run, then they may be coping okay. But if they're a little bit more hesitant, a little bit slower, maybe even kind of showing a little sign of kind of anxiousness, then I would say, yeah, consider that they may be cold. Consider some clothing for them then. And I suppose the one really important thing is, you know, the cold mightn't matter so much if they're just out for a short 15, 20-minute walk and they're supervised. But really, in these kinds of temperatures, having them unsupervised outside or kind of, you know, let's say outside around the yard, I'd be a little bit reluctant with it, because if they have access to the indoors, they can keep themselves warm. But particularly if they're outside and kind of outside in a shed type situation, or if they have a nice outside doghouse, it's really too cold in these temperatures for them to be outside. So I'd really just make sure that they're brought inside, particularly in the evenings as it gets really, really chilly. And particularly in cases where they may be a little bit older or have a few miles on the clock, they're not great at generating their own body heat. So although, you know, clothing is something to think about when they go out for their walk, it's really just important to make sure they always have access to the indoors in these kind of temperatures.
Would they start to shiver if they were cold like we would?
They can do. Yeah, they can do. Certainly, if you see them shivering, they're definitely cold. But sometimes it's a little bit more subtle than that. So their body temperature has to drop quite a bit before they'll start the shivering reflex. So, you know, before they start shivering, which is a sure sign of being too cold, you might see them just looking a little bit shifty, uncomfortable, a little bit unsettled. And that would all kick in when they're feeling the cold, but the shivering reflex hasn't settled in. So that's kind of the time to intervene for them and either bring them back inside or get them a coat on.
Okay. Maureen is having problems with a large breed dog pulling on the lead. He's 3 years of age, neutered. He's a type of Doberman cross, so he's a big dog, but he's getting stronger. And she's noticed he seems to be getting worse at pulling on the lead.
Okay. So I suppose first things first, you know, well done for kind of acknowledging that it's an issue. I see a lot of dogs out and about pulling their owners around, and, you know, it's dangerous for everyone involved. It's dangerous for the dog in case they get loose, because they can be quite strong, particularly in bigger breeds. It's dangerous for the owner as well, because, you know, they might be toppled by a dog who gets excited and pulls. So, you know, it is an issue, and it's something that needs to be dealt with, and certainly can be dealt with. I would suggest at this stage getting a qualified dog behaviourist or dog trainer involved. I must admit, there's no particularly easy solution to this one. Now, there's lots of gadgets and gizmos that if you Google this on the internet will come up as the perfect solution to solve all of your problems. Some of them can help. Some of them are like almost like little shock absorbers built into the leaves that are almost like little bits of bungee cord. But they're not going to solve the problem. They just mean that you're getting less, slightly less pulling through your hand, but it doesn't really make it a lot safer for your pet or for yourself as regards kind of security and safety. So I would really suggest, you know, don't be fooled by the gimmicks on the internet saying that they're going to solve all of your pulling problems. I would get a dog trainer or a behaviourist involved. Other things you could consider are making them extra secure, potentially with a harness as well as a collar. That can help a little bit. Certainly there are other things on the market that are almost kind of to stopping pulling aids, but one of them is called a Halti. And they're just kind of little adapted leads that have a little part that goes over the muzzle. But I would really recommend that if you were going to use those, you do those in tandem with work with a dog trainer or behaviourist, because they have to be used properly to make progress. But best of luck, and it is something that is definitely solvable. I'm sure, give it a little time and training, you'll be having pleasant walks without any pulling. Yeah. It'll just need a bit of time.
And a Doberman Cross, that's a big, strong dog.
Big, strong dog. And I suppose particularly from a safety perspective, you know, we need to make sure our pets are secure and we need to make sure they can't run off. And, you know, particularly in a big dog like that, you want to make sure it's on secure and on the lead for everybody's safety, but also for yourself, so you don't get toppled by them pulling if they get excited.
Yeah. Yeah. Susan in Passage West has a small breed Jack Russell. Seems to be empty reaching a lot lately. Susan describes it like he's almost like he's trying to clear his throat. Does she need to be worried?
Okay. If it's a change for your pet, I would say yes, we need to investigate it. There's no cause for worry just yet, as long as they're otherwise well in themselves, eating, drinking, full of the joys of life and going for their walks. But this is a change and that's not normal behaviour. So there's a few things that could be going on here. If they're kind of dealing with empty reaching, sometimes that can be kind of almost like a vomit, but there's nothing in the tummy. And sometimes it's actually very easily mistaken for kind of a cough or a hack, which will be to do with the lungs and maybe, I suppose, discharge in the lungs. Either way, I would say it's a change for your pet, so it definitely warrants a visit for the vet. Please don't worry just yet, as long as your pet is otherwise well. But I think it's best to get ahead of these things and ask now. Keep a little diary for a few days of how often it's happening for your pet, as long as they're otherwise stable and well. So that you have something to bring to your vet as to regards, you know, what's happening at home. And even better, try and take a little video of one of the episodes happening so that your vet will be able to see what's going on. And a really important thing to do in this kind of situation when we're trying to tell, well, is it a vomit, is it empty reaching, or is it kind of a hacking cough, is if you can take a full body video of your dog to include their belly, because that can actually give your vet clues. So that would be a really helpful thing to do.
Yeah, because you inevitably you get to the vet's practice and they won't do what you want them to do. They won't be coughing or empty reaching at all. Okay,
exactly.
And finally, Marion has a 4-month-old Labrador puppy in the process of house training. How often should she be taking the puppy outdoors to go to the loo?
Every 2 hours at an absolute minimum. And that goes for right into the evening. Obviously, you can't be getting up every 2 hours overnight. You know, we're not superhuman. But what I would suggest is you take your pet out last thing at night before you go to bed, first thing in the morning. And I think it's really important to remember that it's quite likely over, let's say, that 6-8 hour period overnight where they're not out to do their pees and poos, they will have an accident inside. So, you know, obviously we'd like to minimise that because the progress of their toilet training goes much better the more they get it right and the less they kind of get it wrong. So lots of positive encouragement is really important. But, you know, they can't really hold their bladder physically, even if they wanted to, until they're about 6 months of age. So, you know, providing them with plenty of opportunities to get them right by taking them out at a minimum every 2 hours and just acknowledging that you might have the odd accident overnight and that's not their fault. So nothing to scold them about. It's just their physiology and they're not quite ready to be able to hold their pee yet. So best of luck. I'm sure you'll get there. Consistency is key.
Okay. Listen, Bess, have a lovely week and stay warm. And we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
Bye bye. That is Jane Pickett of the Islandwood Veterinary Hospital in Newmarket, part of the Mill Street Veterinary Group.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.